Welcome to Cleveland Clinic Health Talk Podcasts, featuring presentations by leading Cleveland Clinic physicians and medical experts. Today's speaker, Dr. Elizabeth Saleh, presents adult vaccines. Which do you need?
Okay, so I am an internist, which means I see adult patients 18 and over. And let's just get started and talk about vaccines. So the CDC, Center for Disease Control, puts out information regarding immunizations and what we need. And this is an example of the main immunization schedule. And I basically made my slides going down kind of in order of these vaccines. So first we'll start with the flu vaccine. So influenza, it is flu season now. And pretty much anyone over the age of 6 months should get a flu vaccine. It's especially important for people who are immune suppressed, for healthcare workers. And then also, if you are living or visiting people who are quite ill, it's important for you to get a flu vaccine so that you don't spread the flu to them. In addition, pregnant women who are pregnant past 13 weeks should also get a flu vaccine. So our flu vaccine this year is against 3 or 4 strains, and these are the 3 strains that it was targeted against. And the flu vaccine that we give here at the Cleveland Clinic is also against the 4th strain, which is from Australia. So our next vaccination I want to talk about is tetanus. And probably many of you have heard about Tdap, which is tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis. And unfortunately, if you're over the age of 65, Medicare doesn't pay for that one. So you have to get it. I usually send people to either the health department or local pharmacy with a written prescription for it. I don't know how much it costs.
$20 if you associate with younger people or younger children, like that.
At the health department?
Yes.
Okay, $20 at the health department. So that's probably your cheapest. Another lady says $80
from the doctor's office.
From the doctor's office. So, yeah, so ask your doctor for a written prescription and get it at the health department. So, we should all get a tetanus shot every 10 years, and then we should at least get one of the Tdap, which has the diphtheria and acellular pertussis. So this is just a picture of tetanus, and you can see it can cause spasms in the muscles. If you remember seeing, like, in a movie, someone that got bit getting lockjaw, that also is one of the findings in tetanus. It's fatal in 1 in 10 people. So that's why we get our tetanus shots. There's a new recommendation this year that all pregnant women get a new Tdap with every pregnancy. So that was not a recommendation previously, but that is a new recommendation. And the reason for the Tdap that we're all getting is because of the pertussis or whooping cough resurgence. And we don't want our young children to get whooping cough. So if you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, or children, the doctors want you to have the Tdap so you don't pass on whooping cough to young children. So diphtheria at one point in time was very common. And in 1921, there were 206,000 cases, and the fatality rate was 5 to 10%. So because we immunize, you can see that there have been no fatalities in the US between the years of 2004 and 2008. But definitely in developing nations, people are still dying from diphtheria. So diphtheria is Corynebacterium diphtheriae, and it causes basically gray, mucus to line the nose and the throat, and there can be a low-grade fever with it. And this is just to remind you to cover your cough. So, and I learned from Elmo that you're not supposed to cover like this anymore. It's like this. Okay, and the next is pertussis or whooping cough. And this is a little sound bite. I don't see the icon.
The one in the middle.
You click on the little speaker.
The one in the middle.
In the middle.
See down in there?
Oh, there it goes. Okay. Adult with whooping cough, but just imagine a young child with their airways just completely clogged, barely able to catch their breath, and then they're at risk for vomiting with this. So that, again, this is one of the reasons we immunize. So I actually have a timeline up here. So for the first 2 weeks that you have whooping cough, you're infectious. And then the symptoms can continue for up to 12 weeks. Okay, the next vaccine is chickenpox. And really, it's two doses. Anyone who was born before 1980 can be immunized. I think the reason they chose 1980 as a cutoff is because we've been immunizing kids who were born in 1980 and thereon. You can immunize anyone who has not had a history of chickenpox or zoster, which is another word for shingles, and then anyone who does not have positive titers. So sometimes we'll draw antibodies to see if someone is immune to chickenpox, and if they're not immune, then we'll vaccinate. And then here's a little picture of chicken pox, and it can cause up to 500 itchy vesicles if you don't remember actually having the disease. So, and in adults, it can be a much worse illness. You can get chicken pox pneumonia and pretty bad scarring from the blisters. The next vaccine is Gardasil, which is against human papillomavirus, and new this year, it's against 9 strains of human papillomavirus. So human papillomavirus is a general term for the viruses that cause cervical cancer in women. It can cause warts, genital warts, and penile cancers. And there are over 100 strains of human papillomavirus. And we begin immunizing children at the age of 11 or 12 to make sure that they're immune prior to if or when they might have contact with the disease. And females up to age 26 and males up to age 21 unless there's special cases. Okay, the next one is zoster, which is shingles. And zoster can cause an extremely painful rash, and that is probably the main reason we immunize against it. So you've probably seen the commercials on TV. It's recommended after age 60, a one-time dose, and it reduces your risk of shingles by 50% and of post-herpetic neuralgia, or the pain after you've had shingles, of about 60%. And that pain can last a lifetime. We really worry about shingles if it's on the face or scalp. It can be in the nerves around the ear and cranial nerves. So it is something to be concerned about. We've been seeing more and more of it. Again, at age 60, your insurance might pay for it, but at 65, Medicare does not pay for it fully. And they pay for about half of it at a pharmacy, and it ends up costing about $80 to $100 out of pocket. Okay, the next one is measles, mumps, and rubella. And this is a modified live virus, which means if you're immune suppressed and you come in contact with the vaccine, you could possibly get the disease. So we try to avoid vaccinating people who are immune suppressed or around those who are immune suppressed. So people who were born before 1957 are assumed to be immune. And then we generally immunize as adults, healthcare workers, children entering college, and international travelers. But otherwise, our children should be immunized with their regular vaccines. And women should not be vaccinated within 4 weeks of pregnancy. So this is a picture of measles. It causes that very red, kind of diffuse sandpaper-like rash. And this just shows a recent outbreak. And so this was the 2015 outbreak, and that was related to Disneyland, I think, in California. And that wasn't nearly as bad as the previous year, 2014, which was in the Amish community in Ohio. So measles causes cough, coryza, which is basically mucus lining the nasal cavities, and conjunctivitis, which is an inflammation in the eyes. And it's highly contagious, so if you haven't been immunized, 9 out of 10 people will develop it. Okay, mumps. And we recently, this spring, had a mumps outbreak. And mumps can cause fever, headache, muscle aches, but the biggest thing is the swollen, tender salivary glands. And there was a big mumps outbreak in Canada with NHL players. And so this guy is an NHL player, and you can see his big parotid gland here. Okay, rubella. Now, rubella might seem like a mild illness. It only lasts about 3 days, small rash, no significant fever. But the most important thing about rubella is to make sure that pregnant women do not get it in their first trimester. Because if a pregnant woman gets it, it may lead to demise of the fetus and significant birth defects. And this is a picture of a baby who got it a little later in the pregnancy and has cataracts. Okay, pneumonia. And pneumonia has been in the news recently. 1 million US adults get pneumonia each year, and 5 to 7% will die from it. And the reason we've heard about vaccines for pneumonia this year is that we now are giving Prevnar, which is the old pediatric pneumonia vaccine, to adults. And so basically for years, we've been giving Pneumovax, which was against 23 different antigens, and Prevnar was being given to young children. And then they studied Prevnar in adults and found out that by giving Prevnar in addition to Pneumovax, it significantly reduces the risk of death from pneumonia. And Medicare would pay for this as of January of this year. Okay, a little more time. So these are just some special cases of vaccination. Not everyone would get these vaccines. But we do immunize children going off to college, people going into the military that will be housed in barracks together for meningitis. We also immunize people who are immune suppressed. So people who might be having surgery to have their spleen removed, people who might be on chemotherapy, and then also people who are traveling to sub-Sahara Africa, because that's known as the meningitis belt. Hepatitis A. So hepatitis A is the foodborne hepatitis, and in the past, probably the only people I've really immunized are people who are traveling to countries where they might be at risk for foodborne hepatitis. Does anyone know which restaurant was closed due to hepatitis outbreak? Chi-Chi's, that's right. It was bad for business. So basically you get two doses. And then also you might give hepatitis A to people who are at risk for hepatitis because they already have hepatitis C or B, or they have liver disease due to autoimmune liver disease or other reasons. Hepatitis B. So basically hepatitis B is a bloodborne hepatitis. So people can get it from injection drugs, sexual activity. So your healthcare workers are at risk. So as healthcare workers, we all get the hepatitis B immunization. It's a series of three shots. Also, if you're on dialysis, you should get the hepatitis B immunization. They are immunizing our young children against hepatitis B at this time. And then this is my last one, Haemophilus influenza B, which is bacteria. And that we generally, it's basically a children's immunization, and we give it to adults who are immune suppressed. Again, if they're not going to have a spleen, if they're going to be receiving chemo, patients who have rheumatoid arthritis, who are on immune suppressive agents, we will give the HIV vaccine to.
Thank you for listening to Cleveland Clinic Health Talk Podcasts. For more information, please visit our website at clevelandclinic.org/health.